But this was a story about a missionary, and I believe he was in China. And he had the opportunity to work with people in the mountains or in the highlands, or work down in the lowlands with people. And he really prayed and tried to decide what to do, and finally decided he would do just that. He would pray for the people in the highlands, but he would minister to the people in the lowlands. And time passed. I don't really know how much time went by, but time went by, and he had the opportunity to go up to the highlands to visit the people. And they had far excelled the people in the lowlands. And what he really saw is that unfiltered prayer, you know, it was not hampered by our human personality, you know, because with anybody there are things you see that you like, there are things you don't like, the way they hold their head or what have you. And this prayer was totally unfiltered prayer, and it ministered to these people. So that was just a real encouragement to me. I'm hooked up. If you would like to come up and get your hand out. I can't bring that to you. Okay, thank you. I'd pull this seat. No, no problem. We're just starting. But that was just real encouragement to me about the ministry of prayer. And I would just like to say my heart is really burdened for this workshop. Just to talk about the privilege of prayer. I also feel 100% totally inadequate. I love to do workshops. They're really one of my favorite things to do, and I enjoy getting ready for them and doing them. But this one, I really feel so inadequate when I'm talking about prayer. And it isn't that it's a great, mysterious thing. It's just that I just feel like that it's one of the areas where my heart is the strongest, but it's also one of the areas where I'm really the weakest. So if I really seem to be married to my notes, I've put some things down that I want to share, and it will be really just a lot of sharing and some real practical things, because that's just sort of where I come from. So we'll just sort of see what transpires during this hour. Why don't you pray with me, okay? Lord, we just thank you that you're in this place, that all these workshops that are going on, Lord, you're as much with one as you are with the other, and that you're giving us this time to invest in each other's lives. And Lord, just especially right now in this room, we just ask that you make us aware of your presence, that you make us aware, Lord, of what it means to be able to talk with you and to love you and to enjoy you. And just, if anything, Lord, we just ask that you burden our hearts. Lord, not the big mystique of how to pray, but just burden our hearts with the privilege of the sitting and the doing, just the praying. For it is in your name we do pray. Amen. And I think as close as this stand is, let me see if that makes any difference. Oh, it's amazing. What glasses do. This is just almost too tall for me. I spoke at a Christian women's club in Oklahoma City last week, I guess it was, and I couldn't even see over the top of the lectern. They had to get a step, and it worked out just perfect. But I stood up, and I thought, oh, this is lovely. I see a board. Okay, the purpose of this workshop is literally what I said in my prayer. It is not to teach us how to pray. It is just really to encourage us to pray. And I think that there is a vast difference in this. One can depend upon mechanics, and it can border on being legalistic, thinking we maybe have to be in a certain position or a certain frame of mind or say certain words or use certain things. And we are going to have tools that I help, but I think they're just that. I think that they are tools. And my heart's desire is just what the disciples asked Jesus when they, you know, they didn't say, Lord, teach us how to pray. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I think that's really where the short suit is that we just don't pray. There was a terrific little book out years ago. What was it? Too Busy to Pray. And they had scratched out the middle part of that and put Too Busy Not to Pray. I think when I have my quiet, and you're here practically every workshop you go to, you hear Irma all the time talk about quiet times. I really love to read the Bible. I can just be real content to sit down and just read the Bible. If anything gets short-potted in my quiet time, it's prayer. And I'm sorry that it's that way, and I'm seeking to do something about it. But if anything gets short-potted, it's basically that, because I really love to sit and read. I'm a reader anyway. But I want us to just to think in terms of what it is just to pray. It's learning to take part in something that should be as natural as breathing. And I don't know what it is. Have you remember the first time you were ever in the group and you were asked to pray audibly? You know, maybe you've never done that. But I can remember sitting in a group and everybody prayed in the group and I sat there very quiet. I was thoroughly enjoying it. And all of a sudden, this woman's voice said, "Tommy, pray." And my heart just absolutely tripped in my chest. I was scared to death. Now, I've never been afraid to talk. I'm a great talker. But isn't it funny, something about closing the eyes and praying was just hard to me. I have a Bible study with three dear little gals. Well, one of them's my daughter-in-law, one's my daughter, and one's a friend of hers. Precious little gals. Two of them have never really prayed before. And so I really sort of tricked them because I wanted to give them an opportunity one day just to have the privilege of praying together in a group. I think there's something real special about that. And I thought we were at the close of study, and I said, "Can you think of something you're really thankful for?" And boy, their hands shot up. They could think of something they're really thankful for. I said, "Now, I don't want you to tell me, but what we're going to do is we're going to close our eyes, and I just want you each to take a turn and just verbalize what's in your mind to God. And that way you'll share it with all of us." They were scared to death. But it was absolutely wonderful. After they left, I told Mike, I said, I just soared like the eagles that we heard about today. That was a precious jam to me to get to experience that with them. So prayer really should be that. It should be as natural as breathing. And what it really is you are just practicing the presence of God. And there's something when you, and all prayer doesn't have to be audible. My goodness, much of prayer is just in my mind and in my heart. But there is something about audibly opening up in a group that just seems to draw God's presence there. So it's practicing the presence of God, having an open line of communication with Him, a sharing what's on my heart, and learning what's on His heart. And I think that's what I forget about in prayer a lot of times. I'm so busy giving Him my laundry list or my do list, you know, I forget that He has something to share back with me. You know, like the little verse that says, "Be still and know that I am God." I forget about that. Of course, lots of times in conversation, we're uncomfortable when people don't say anything. And yet, as you get to know people, and as you get to be comfortable in their presence, the silence isn't so oppressive. That's as much as Mike and I talk, and we're finally learning not just to talk, but to communicate. Mike's my husband. And yet there are times it's wonderful just being with him, just reaching over and patting him, you know, as we're driving along or something. And it's amazing how you don't have to say anything, but it's comfortable. And I believe that that can be prayer. Just learning to be quiet before God. And sometimes He brings thoughts to your mind. Maybe it's even sometimes just quietly reading a devotional book or a hymn book or just something from the Scriptures or just a good book. And God, you know, just like this on the eagles. You know, and all of a sudden all these spiritual truths that you find, you can learn. And that's God talking to you. So finding out what's on His heart and learning to be comfortable in His presence. I think that was a biggie for me because I'm not really basically a people person, so I am having to learn to be comfortable in people's presence. I'm also having to learn to be comfortable in God's presence. I get up in the morning, you know, the time will vary, brush my teeth and do all the little things you do when you get ready and run a brush through my hair and go get my hot tea, and I look forward to sitting down and being in God's presence. And I really have a sense. I have my, and it isn't that it's necessary. I happen to have my own little corner in the living room. It's my corner. It's my chair, and I have all my clutter and everything right down there where I have it. And I really have a sense that I meet God there. Now, when I open my eyes, I meet him in the morning. It's wherever I am. But just a sense of learning to be comfortable in his presence and enjoying being there. I want to just ask you, I want you to think a minute. When you think about praying, if I just toss out the word to you, pray, what one word would you toss back to me?
Praise.
Praise? Oh, super. Praise. Intercession. Thankfulness. Okay, anything else? Oh, that's good. Answers. I think that's good to think about sometimes because probably when I asked myself this question, I thought in terms of asking, you know, which would be petitions. And that's okay, and yet prayer is so much more than that. And I really, the analogy that came to my mind, I had a terrific dad. Matter of fact, it just dawned on me last night as I was reviewing this. He died 9 years ago yesterday. And God showed me many things through Daddy's death that were precious. Daddy didn't walk with the Lord through most of his life, but he really came to know the Lord when he died. And it was through people's prayers that my daddy was healed spiritually. He was really made whole in a way that he had never known before. And had we told him about a month before he died that people were praying for him for the peace that passeth all understanding, and Mike had just put him to bed. He'd gotten sick. He had cancer. And he leaned up and he said, "What's that again? What did you say?" And Mike said, "We're praying for you, the peace that passeth all understanding." And Daddy lay back and he said, "I've been looking for that all my life." And he came to find it. I never shed one tear over my daddy's homegoing because I couldn't. God did such miraculous. That doesn't mean I won't go to pieces on another situation, on another death or losing a loved one, but I saw God do such terrific things in my daddy's life through prayer. And people were so faithful to pray for him and to pray for us and just in our ministering to him that it was a beautiful experience. And Daddy's homegoing was, we had the privilege of being there. And it was just special. But I thought of Daddy because one thing about it, he was always just that. He was my daddy. And I could go to him. And, you know, there are times I'd go running to him with my little childish request and just, and I never bothered about prettying it up. I just laid it out in all of its glory just for what it was, you know. And it might have been totally selfish. It might have been, why have you, but I just, "Daddy, this is what's on my heart and this is it." And he listened to me. And then it might have just been going up to him and sitting in his lap and putting my arms around him and saying, "Daddy, I love you." And boy, he'd hold me and he'd tell me he loved me. And that was wonderful. Or it might have been that I fell down and skinned my knee. And my knee was hurting. And I went to him for comfort. Many of the things. Just think in your own relationship, whether, you know, we all know ideally. I know the two girls, two of the little gals that I share with don't have a relationship like that with their dad. So they don't have that to compare. But we know what it should be. And I could go to Daddy with anything, my dreams, you know, just things that I thought would be wonderful, my joys, maybe someone had hurt my feelings, and I'd go to Daddy. And I firmly believe that's the way it is to be with God. I believe that I can go to him, whatever my emotion, whatever my need, whatever my hurt. I think one of the, what was to me, a tragedy. We worked with young people for 13 and a half years. And we would take them every summer. For 6 summers, I took kids up to Colorado to a Christian camp. And 1 week, they spoke on prayer. And this one girl was just, her life was just revolutionized. She did not know prayer was so practical, so down to earth, so real, so informal, She did not realize you could ask God for things. And she came back just transformed. And her parents were so upset because of what she learned about prayer. They had taught her that prayer, that God was up there and you could worship him, but you didn't go to him like you did to your father. You didn't ask him for anything. You didn't bother him with anything that was of importance to you. And they told this little girl they didn't want her ever to have anything to do with me again. And she never did. She was a very dutiful, you know, daughter. But I've thought about her, and she's wound up making she's a professional opera singer. Beautiful, beautiful girl, and very successful professionally. And I've wondered where she is in her relationship with the Lord. You know, if he's God out there, or if he's someone intimate and personal and warm to her. But I think it's real important to tell God that you want this kind of relationship with him and to seek it. And one thing I want to just make loud and clear is God does answer prayers. And there are basically three answers, and I'm sure you all are aware of this, but I feel they're worth yes, no, and wait. And there's something about us that thinks if God says yes, he's answered my prayer. But if he says no, or if he says wait, what's the matter, God? You haven't answered my prayer. Are any of you familiar with Amy Carmichael? She was a missionary to India. She was born back, 1850s, something like that. And Elizabeth Elliot has just written a book, I think it's called A Chance to Die, that's on her life. And years ago, I read another book that was on her life. It was, you know, how certain books, through that book, I really realized how God can love through human beings, how he chooses to use human beings as his vehicle to love people. And it was through the life of Amy Carmichael, so she's always been real special to me. And there was a story told about her. Amy had brown eyes, but her mother had beautiful blue eyes, and she adored her mother. And she had been raised to have such a faith in God. And she went to bed one night and she said, God, when I get up in the morning, I want blue eyes. And she went to bed, went sound asleep, and when she got up the next morning, she jumped up and ran to the dresser and peered in, and her eyes were brown. They were not blue. And she was just struck. And her mother came in and said, but Amy, when she shared this with her, don't you know, no is an answer. Because Amy said, God didn't answer my prayer. And you know what? Amy, I told you, wound up being a missionary to India. And one of her main work was with children, and her main part of that work was rescuing temple children who were used for illegal prostitution. And because she had brown eyes, she could put this sarong on and over her face, and she could go in undetected, and she could bring these children out. If she had had blue eyes, she couldn't have. When God gives us a no, he gives it for a very good reason, and a reason that is going to enhance not only our lives, but everybody else's life. So I've loved that story. Okay, is this the kind of picture you have of God? Is he that approachable to you? And I don't think that this belittles God or brings him down to a level that he shouldn't be, because I really believe that the man in the home is supposed to be the picture to us of God. Okay, for me in my home right now, that's my husband. When I was growing up, it was my daddy. And I believe that's what God wants to be to me. The point is, he's so much more. I feel so inadequate in saying what I want to say. And that's okay, because, you know, God can take that and he can use it in your life. God is so much more. He has our best interest at heart. And the real key thing is that we have to know him and trust what's on his heart for us and for those we love. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And John 10:10b says, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. God has wonderful things in store for us. It doesn't mean that hard times aren't going to come. They are. And that Irma really shared that today. Hard times come, but it's like the eagle. And there is an essence that on the Holy Spirit we can soar above them, and we don't have to be swamped by the circumstances. You know how the saying goes, how are you? Well, I'm okay under the circumstances. And someone said, what are you doing under the circumstances? You need to be above them. And I have found that's only in the Lord that I can really be above them, because by nature I'm sort of a pessimist. You know, and I'm a terrific whatever, you know, chicken little, what if the sky's going to fall? You know, and here comes a big chunk down. I am just in my Christian life, and that's what I love about the Christian life, is it's a process. And that's what prayer is. I'm just in the process of learning to communicate with my Father. In 1 Corinthians 1:9 in the Phillips translation says, God is utterly dependable. He's utterly dependable to be there when I need him. He's utterly dependable when I don't know what's going on. God does. God is utterly dependable. Prayer is a relationship. I really believe that. And you cannot separate it from the Word of God. And that's part of what we're going to really walk through, are just some practical things to do with the Word of God. The Word is God talking to me so I can respond back to Him. That's what I love in having my quiet times. There's a sheet next to the last sheet called Bible Reading Highlight Records in your handout. I was introduced to this little sheet about 8 years ago, and it has revolutionized. I hope, does everyone have one? It has revolutionized my quiet time. I sit down every morning, and like today, well, we'll just say Sunday, that's the top of the sheet there. I'd sit down, I'd put the date. What is, okay, Sunday's tomorrow. That would be October 29th. Would no, 30th, October 30th, it surely would be. Okay, October 30th, and what I read today, well, I happen to be reading in 1 Chronicles, and I'm going to be in 1 Chronicles 9, and the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles are genealogies, and I'm just saying, Lord, you've got to really work to show me something spiritual out of this. And so part of it, I'm using a commentary, too, because I'm not getting a lot out of all these genealogies for 9 chapters, but it's exciting on some of the things I do get out of it. But that's my pace right now. I'm just reading a chapter a day because I did want to slow down. I wanted to spend more time with the Word, and I wanted to have more time for prayer. So this is how I've chosen to do it. And after I read about it, then I start putting down my thoughts. It may be that God would say something back, though it's been some months ago, I was reading in Colossians, and there was a verse in there about a man named Epaphras. And it said that he battled and worked for people. And you know what his battle was and what his work was? It was prayer. It said that he had a heart to pray for people. Well, boy, I wrote that down, and I wrote down what Epaphras did, and then I just said, Lord, I would be an Epaphras. I want to battle and work, especially for my family, but for other people too. It's a compliment when people trust you enough to come up to you and say, will you pray for me? Will you lift it? You know, sometimes you can pray, boy, just right then and there. And that's fine. And then, boy, sometimes you might take it and just faithfully. There's one little girl, we have a prayer chain at our church. I hope you guys have prayer chains at your churches. If you don't, start them. But this has been a year and a half ago, easily, a little 16-year-old girl tried to commit suicide by burning herself. And this was her third time to try to commit suicide. And she came awfully close and made a miserable mess out of herself. And that was a very dramatic situation. But we worked with teens a lot. I was real aware of teens and just where she was coming from. And I have just faithfully, I don't pray every day. It may be weekly, but I pray faithfully for this little girl, and periodically I check back with the people that know her just to see how things are going in this gal's life, and they've encouraged me. They said, please keep praying. But a lot of this, I just put down what God said to me in His Word, and then I say it back to Him. you know, conversation is that way. It is a two-way conversation, generally on the same subject. And it would be awfully rude of us if God came up and started talking to me about Epaphras and how he had a burden to work and how his burden to pray for people. And then I said, oh, but God, have I told you about, or God, you know, I really have a need. And it isn't that that's not important. But if God's saying something to me, it's because he wants me to say something back to him about that. And so for me, it was just God enable me to be an Epaphras. And that has stayed with me, because I really do want to be that. And if I see someone, there are certain people that I think of as Epaphrases. That's sort of a hard word, isn't it, to get your tongue around. But this is a terrific little tool. You can use it. You can spend an hour or 2 hours with it. You can do it in 2 or 3 minutes. Just read a short portion of Scripture, write it down, and then talk back to God what he's saying to you. Carry on a conversation with him. Don't change the subject. That happens to be the real tendency of mine. I'm really trying to learn in that area. True communication involves both talking and listening. I am more of a talker than I am a listener. And like I say, there are times I can sit there and I think, well, what am I listening to? I just hear the clock tick and, you know, hear the pendulum swing, and I don't really know what I'm listening to be real honest. And yet that's where reading the Word gives me something to listen to as to what God's saying. I just don't believe I really fully in praying, if I'm praying apart from the Word. That's one of the real values of memorizing Scripture. As you review it, I was meeting with a girl for a couple of years, and she was about a 30, 40-minute drive from me, and I would go in one day a week to have lunch with her and just have a little special time together. So I would use that to review my verses, and it was amazing what it did for my prayer life, particularly for this gal, because I was aware of her, I was going to see her, and I had rich, rich time for her because of the verses I was reviewing. So I would really, and that's how we listen to him, listen to his voice. The thing I keep asking God the most is just, Lord, teach me to pray, teach me to openly, fully, and honestly communicate with you. And the best way to do it, to go about it, is just that, is to do it. There was a book out years ago called When You Run Out of Fantastic, Persevere. It's good just for the title. If you run out of fantastic, persevere. And sometimes prayer isn't so fantastic. Sometimes it can seem real rote. Sometimes it can seem real dry. Sometimes I just don't really want to do it. But when you run out of fantastic, persevere. Just like I know what enhances my relationship with my husband is to communicate with him, to talk to him, to talk things through, to open up, to be honest. I've come into God's presence before and said, God, I'd rather be almost anywhere than right here. I'm sorry. That's known as confession, if you're wondering. And you know what God says? He says, that's okay. I'm just glad you're here and that we have this special time together. There's a verse in Luke 18:1, and it says, then he told them a parable about the need to pray continually and never lose heart. I love that little verse. I have a real desire to pray politically. I lose heart praying politically. Because a lot of what I'm praying isn't coming about. And then once in a while it will, and it gets real exciting. You know, and that's really when God gave me this verse. And this was in my quiet time one morning, and it's what I wrote down on my Bible reading highlight sheets. Because I've been praying about the Supreme Court judges and the decisions that are coming out of the Supreme Court, and about the Congress and the imbalance in it, and the... I can't think of the word I want, but just the extremes that we're seeing in our courts. And I got discouraged. And he said, just pray continually and never lose heart. Yes, no, and wait. There are many of my prayers right now God's saying no, and there are many prayers He's saying wait. And now there was one I would have to share with you. There was one politician in Oklahoma that I was so concerned about some things. It was about the drinking age, which I had really been praying that we would raise the drinking age from 18 to 21. They were doing it in other states. That happened to be a problem my daughter had problems with in high school, was drinking. And so I sort of got quietly, but sort of got on my prayer crusade, and I really began praying, and I prayed about this one man who was one of the chief men that was fighting this, and he happened to be, his constituency was Stillwater. Well, he didn't want to vote for this or see that it passed the House because he would go against all his voters, and he figured he would wind up losing his position. And so I began praying, Lord, change this man's heart or remove him. Change this man's heart or remove him. And I prayed that, and I prayed that, and one day I picked up the paper, and here were the headlines, and he had been arrested for drunk driving. And do you know that man lost his seat in the state house? Now, my first reaction is, what did I do? You know, and I just really prayed what I felt was a burden on my heart to pray, because the man was really wrong, and he was, and consequently, they have raised that drinking age, you know, to 21, which I think is real appropriate. But we do have to be careful what we pray, ladies. I've been praying that for someone else, and they're still there. But I'm still praying it. But don't be discouraged. Just don't be discouraged. The neat thing is just coming into God's presence, sharing with Him what's on His heart, what's on your heart, and then learning what's on His heart. Lord, teach us to pray. I just have to keep coming back to that. God hears your prayers. Don't let anybody tell you God doesn't hear your prayers. Sometimes it may seem like they're bouncing off the ceiling and just ricocheting back. That's when you run out of fantastic, you persevere. God hears your prayers. My daddy always heard me. And, of course, my daddy was not perfect. But my daddy heard me. I will never be convinced that God doesn't hear me. Psalm 5:3 says, morning by morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. Morning by morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. That's a neat verse. I can lay anything before God and wait in expectation, and He's going to deal with it. He hears me. He lets me know that. Psalms 116, 1 and 2 basically says the same thing. I don't have to say it a certain way. I don't have to be in a certain position. I don't have to have my eyes closed. Mike and I pray a lot in the car, and I always shrink, please don't close your eyes when he's driving. You know, that's not a requirement. Eyes don't have to be closed. It's neat, and if we have time, and I don't know if we will, we'll just see. What I'd really love to do is just break up in little groups of two or three and just take God's Word, maybe one of the Psalms, and just read a Psalm and then verbalize it in prayer back to God. That is a rich, rich fellowship time when you're with someone, or to do it as a family devotionally. But just to pray God's Word back to Mike. But there's no format. He keeps all our requests before Him, Revelation tells us, as a fragrant aroma, no matter how puny or how simple or how big. In Job 36:5, it says, let me look that up because it's, okay, behold, God is mighty, and yet He regards nothing as trivial. He is mighty in power of understanding. Nothing is too trivial to God. And when my grandkids come up to me, I say, oh, don't bother me with that. That's too insignificant. You know, they love to bring me flowers, and most of the time they're dandelions. Well, you know, that matter of fact, my one grandson gave a flower to another woman, and it was a dandelion, and she just looked at it and said, that's a weed, and just threw it away. And I wanted to say, oh, no, no, no. You know, God doesn't do that. I can bring Him a dandelion or a thistle or anything else, and God's going to treasure it because I brought it to Him. And then it tells us in Psalm 119:37, turn away my eyes from looking at futilities and revive me in thy way. Nothing, things that may seem overwhelming to me are not overwhelming to God. I was that way. I didn't know how to react when I heard that Daddy had cancer. And I thought, Lord, I really don't know how to pray for my daddy. Romans 8:26-27, and I want to read it to you from this translation. It says, and in the same way, by our faith, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems and in our praying. For we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling that it cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows, of course, what the Spirit is saying as he pleads for us in harmony with God's own will. I just had to say, that was in my quiet time that God gave that to me. And I thought, super. It doesn't matter that I feel inadequate and that I don't know how to pray for my daddy. God just says, it doesn't matter how you pray, it just pray for your daddy. Just hold him up to me. And the Holy Spirit, my gift to you, if you belong to Jesus Christ, if you come to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you, and he enables you to pray. Where I am inadequate, God is adequate. That is a great comfort to me. And there are times I go through my prayer list, and it does. It seems like road, and I think, God is, you know, am I just wasting my time and your time? And he says, no. And last time I just have to remember, that's right, the Holy Spirit's praying. And he's, as I lift each of these people before you, he's praying for them. Just some of the practical things I want us to talk about as we think of God's word. First of all, Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. You know, I think that's God's promise to us. But we've already really covered part of this. Going to God's word, 1 Chronicles 29 is David's prayer, and it's just praise and worship. 1 Chronicles 20 is a prayer of Jehoshaphat. And it's super to go to the prayers in the Bible. You know, God gives you the Bible to encourage you. It's to teach you how to live. It's to let you know when you do wrong and how to get back on the road. You know, it's for correction, for reproof, for doctrine, for teaching. It's for everything we need. And he says, I know you have struggles in praying. And so he says, I'm even going to give you prayers, prayers of praise. I am so weak in praising. And God began to show me I was not good at praising my husband. And of course, part of it was that I had this motive that, well, I don't want to put him on an ego trip or let him have problems out there, so I won't praise him too much so he won't get swelled head. You know, and God says, don't worry about that. You just worry about praising. But he also showed me, he said, the reason you can't praise me is because you don't know how to praise your husband. And he said, you won't learn to praise your husband until you learn to praise me. I just really see it. In my own life, it was as I learned to praise one, I learned to praise the other. There's a terrific book out there called The Blessing. If you've not read it, I would really encourage you to buy it and read it. We're walking just chapter by chapter through that with some couples and some singles on Sunday night. It's a book, one of the first things that it talks about, well, the first two things that it talks about as far as extending God's blessing to people is to touch them and to verbally praise them. To touch people and to verbally praise them. To give them a sense of value and of worth and of acceptance. And they need to hear it verbally. Our 24-year-old son is still at home, and there are some medical problems there, and chances are, I know, we were asked to talk to a group about the empty nest syndrome, and I said, I don't know about the empty nest syndrome. We just have not had that experience and probably never will. And Mick may be with us. The doctor has even said that he may be a young man that will never marry. And to some extent, right now, even at 24, he's really not able to be out on his own. But one thing we've really found out is that we need to verbally praise him. Now, why do you think we need to verbally praise God? He doesn't have an ego problem. Who really benefits by our praising God? We do. We really do, don't we? It's that we hear what we're saying and we begin to put that together with experience and we find that it's true. God is worthy of praise. What is it? Psalm 22:3 said, God inhabits the praises of his people. Terrific little verse. God inhabits the praises of his people. Someone said praise is just letting off esteem. I like that. Letting off esteem. And to me, when I love to play with words and I look at the word praise, and it has the word raise in it. And what you're really doing is you're raising, you know, God up. When you praise other people, you're raising them up. That's a terrific gift to give people. There are, and we, this handout is really just for your benefit. I would hope that you would take it and go home. There are many. I've just felt real free to copy and take some good things that I have seen that other people have put together. And there are just some tremendous things in here on adoration and praising. The whole back part of it is on praising, praise, optional or essential. And I would just encourage you through this next week just to read it in bits and pieces and let it lead you into praise. Just, for me, helping me where I fall short, because that's a real short area for me. There are many facets of prayer, many, many facets, from reading, sharing, praising, thanking, confessing, asking, and every prayer doesn't have to have all those areas. Remember, you know what the shortest prayer in the Bible is? Oh, Peter, help! One word. That's all he said, help! Shortest prayer in the Bible, and God answered it. It didn't have to be in King James. You know, it wasn't in any specific lingo or language or anything. But probably my real short spots are praise and thanksgiving. And forgiveness, I just have a real sense that I am a needy person and God's a very forgiving God. That's the only reason I can stand up here today. And that's terrific. He's a very forgiving God. One of the little gals that I'm working with is a little gal who had a child out of wedlock and went through a disastrous marriage and is now married and things are going very well, but there's a sense that I think there's still sort of a struggle there with forgiveness. And it's real funny, sometimes we can intellectually know that God forgives us, but we have a real hard time forgiving ourselves. And I think that's sort of the battle there. But God is a forgiving God, and he says, what right do you have to harbor something that I've already not only forgiven but forgotten? And that's, like I say, that's the only way I can really stand up here. And thanksgiving is, I just wrote down here, it is volitional. It's an act of my will. And sometimes my feelings aren't there. But you know, that's okay. God doesn't say, you know, come into my presence because you feel like it. I'm so thankful that he doesn't. Campus Crusade some years ago came out with a little illustration of a train. And the engine was faith, the cars were fact, and the caboose was feelings. Well, the engine, which is faith, pulls that train. Now, when all the cars and the caboose are hooked up and that engine goes, it's going to go wherever that track takes it. And the caboose has to go whether it likes it or not. But what happens if the caboose is in the lead? There's no power in that caboose, and it's a total runaway. Well, that's just like my feelings. If I step out in faith and take the facts of the gospel, and I say, you know, I can walk with God, and I can have a relationship with him, and I can praise him, and I can thank him, and I can bring these things before him, It doesn't matter what my feelings say. They're going to ultimately just have to come along anyway because the train's pulling them. I don't want them. And for women, feelings can be often our barometer, you know, just like this, up and down. But they don't have to rule us. And I'm so thankful that I don't know whether God just miraculously healed me in this area or what, but I was one of these people you always knew when it was that time of the month. You know, my husband could just walk in the room and look at me and he'd think, oh dear. You know, because I could be warm and loving as he walked. There's been very much the sense that God carried me, and I'm thankful for that. I hope you pray for your husband, for your children, for your friends, if you're not in a married situation, just the people that God brings into your life. That is a super ministry. That's the best thing that I know to do for my loved ones. One of the greatest things, I'll just give you Colossians 1, 28 through 29, and basically what that says is to be presented complete in Jesus Christ. There's nothing better that you can pray for your loved ones or the people you know, but that they would be presented complete in Jesus Christ. There, I just want to show you some of the different things here that I brought along. These are two tremendous little tools, and if a person's interested in them, you can sign up on these open flap, and I'll send your name in, and you'll get them. This takes you through the whole Bible in a year. I'll be honest, instead of the daily walk, it should say the daily gallop, because it goes at a pretty fast pace. And I did this for several years, and I loved it. I wouldn't have taken anything for it, but I wanted to slow down. So I went to this one, which is called the Closer Walk, which takes you through the New Testament in a year. And I wanted to read the Phillips translation, and I read the Phillips in this, and bless my booties. It was just wonderful. And now I'm not using anything. I'm just reading the Bible, just a chapter at a time. But these are tremendous little tools. They really help you as far as getting in the Word, listening what God's saying to you, and praying it back to Him. And if you're interested, like I say, just put your name on the little flap on the front cover, and I'll send it off and see that you get a copy. There's no charge for it. These two little handouts that I gave you have done wonders to encourage me to pray. This one, praying for one another, I'm using this year and just walking through it one little paragraph at a time. For instance, if you open up to the first page here where it says, pray that the person for whom we are interceding, number one, it says, will realize his present exalted position in Christ, and then gives a little paragraph on that. And I just, each day, I pray. I'll just say, God, I would lift my husband before you. And I sort of pray collectively for my main, you know, my intimate part of my family. I just say, I'll pray that my loved ones would realize your present exalted position in Christ. And just go through this paragraph, and I just pray it back to God. And I just do, you know, it maybe takes me 30 seconds, maybe 15 seconds, however much time you have. And then I just put a little check mark by it, and I've been praying through this little book, just taking my time. And in the back page, there are just a whole bunch of just little sentences, and I just pray each one at a time. And I've prayed this about four times now for my family. It really has been encouraging to me on specific things to pray for my family. So I thought that might be something you would enjoy. This world prayer map is one of the greatest things I've ever found. I have always, you know, I really want what's on God's heart to be on my heart. And what's on God's heart are people and the world. Now, like I say, I'm not really a people person. So this is just a desire that God's really given me, but I want to know how to pray for the world. And I don't know. It isn't so much here again, the know-how, but it's just the praying. And I just didn't know how to get with it. And this is so fantastic. As you can see, it's broken down into 31 days. Today is the 29th, so today you would pray for Vietnam, North Korea, Papua, how do you say it, New Guinea, Solomon Islands, Guam, and the Mariana Islands. And I have found verses of Scripture. There was one on world leaders that I prayed for a whole year, just every day when I prayed for the specific world leaders that it mentioned, I prayed that verse just for a whole year because it was a terrific verse to me. And then these are just some of the various ministries, missionaries and what have you throughout the world. And you can look up here and you can just look exactly where sometimes I may spend a lot of time with it and really individually locate each country. Other times I may spend a minute doing it. But it has helped me to be able to pray for the world. And that's just been real encouraging to me. So I just really wanted you to have these because I think they're a great little tool. I'll show you two things. This is for the organized person. It's called the 2959 plan. And if anyone is interested in it, there's an address in here where you could write off. It's on this first leaf, the Agape Ministries. You could write off and order one. I'm sorry. I don't know whether it's, I think it's under $10, but I'm not certain. It's been a long time. I've never gotten into this, but a friend of mine has, several people have, and love it. And it just has a number of aids in there to help you in praising and worshiping God. And then there are prayer request pages. And just, you keep a little record of your prayer life. This is organized. And to some people, it's real encouraging. This is unorganized. This is Tommy Sue. But, and when the rubber band breaks, I'm in trouble. This is my daily prayer, and then I have this broken down to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And see these little pink sheets of paper? By every phone in the house, I have this little holder with these little sheets of paper. And people will call, and maybe they're just be burdened about something. And I'm a doodler anyway, so I invariably take notes. Well, lots of times I realize that's something I could really pray for that person. Or sometimes somebody may just call and say, will you pray for me? When somebody calls you and asks you to pray for them, I think the way I learned the most to be faithful in this is when somebody asked me to and then like a couple of weeks later came up and said, oh, thank you for praying for me. I know you did. And I thought, I did not. I did not at all. I totally forgot all about them. Well, I've gotten place now. I keep papers with me in my purse. Or whatever I have, I write that down, and when I get home, I transfer it to something, and I pray for people. Because I've really begun to take that to heart when people ask that. So I have paper clips and all my little notes stuck in here and things. I have been praying that my husband can meet with the husbands of these little gals I'm meeting with. And the guys don't know it. And two of them would probably just die 1,000 deaths if they knew I was praying that. But I'm just praying it. And that's really a heart's desire for me. Is that we'll pay for the babysitter for all these multitude of kids that they have so they could all come and we could have time together. But this is unorganized, but that's okay. I happen to be a cluttered person. And God takes you where you are. Now, there are sometimes I get to this and on the everyday bit, the time really legitimately is not there to do it all. You know what? I do what I can. And I don't feel guilty about not doing it all. There is nothing that says I have to go through every sheet, every day, all the time. And that was freeing to me. It was so freeing to know to remove the legalism, to just do what I could do as I do it and care. But it's, I have missionary prayer letters in here. I have, like I say, my little notes. I have a song sheet of praise songs. One of the things, if you have any, if this is just for example tape, praise and worship, Campus Crusade happened to put this out, and there are about, now I'm not certain how many of them there are, maybe four or five of them, maybe more, six, I don't know. Terrific. To just put one on and, you know, maybe you don't have the time to sit through the whole thing. I usually put it on while I'm getting dressed in the morning. You know, as you start getting 48 and look in your magnifying mirror and you see the wrinkles and the lines and you think, well, I need some praise music. And that always reminds me to turn on the praise tape. So I'm in an attitude of prayer while I'm looking in that magnifying mirror. But I would really encourage you to listen, to let God lead you through song. And I keep a song sheet. In here I have newspaper clippings. I happen to be conservative in my political opinions. And I happen to like, as a whole, the editorials. Most of the editorials in the newspaper. Sometimes some not as well as others, but some really hit me, and I cut them out. And I put them in my prayer thing, and I began praying over them. And there, it's amazing, some of the things. I had really been praying about, it was the ABC children's bill that Congress was really trying to pass, and it was not a good bill. And I had been made aware of it last spring. And I began praying for it. And we get this little letter, and I pray through this letter every month that Tim LaHaye sends out. It's just sort of a update on political things. And I just devour it when it comes. And then I thought, well, no, just devour it. Put it down, and each day I pray for one area of that until I prayed through the letter. And, boy, his headline on this one is, it's going to take a miracle for this bill not to pass. So I said, okay. And I said it in my book, and every day I prayed, Lord, a miracle. Got a letter the other day from Phyllis Schlafly, and it said, the bill was defeated the 6th of this month. And I just prayed for Lord. Fantastic. God's still in the miracle-making business. Now, that bill could have still passed. There are other bills I have prayed for that still passed. Don't get me wrong. And that's okay. You know, God's not limited. And for some reason, he has allowed that. But let me think of some of the other things. That hymnals, of course, church directory, missionary letters, and newspaper, praise tapes. We've talked about that. Newspaper is a terrific prayer list. You really should never read the paper without using it as an opportunity to pray. Your church bulletin. If you take notes on a sermon, lots of times it's real good just to take that Monday morning and just pray through it, how God will use it in your life. Our refrigerator, the whole front of our refrigerator is grandchildren pictures. You know, I mean, that's, you can barely find the handle to open the door. The back side, well, not the back side, but the other side that's open the refrigerator are just pictures. Missionaries' pictures, or people who've given us pictures of their children. And boy, I think we've bought almost every magnet that you can buy, you know, and we have those all over that refrigerator. But it's real neat, because when I'm in the kitchen, I can look at that, and I pray for those people. You know, God's right there with me as I'm stirring goulash or whatever I'm doing, but I have an opportunity to pray for those people, and that's been real super. So the main thing, don't organize yourself. Don't make prayer so organized or so legalistic that it's defeating to you, because God doesn't intend. I do not organize my time with my husband. I just enjoy him. I enjoy being with him, sharing whatever, spending the time with him, just loving him. We sing together sometimes, and, you know, just different things. And that's how I believe it's supposed to be with God. The last thing I want to show you, and if anybody is interested, I only have one copy, but I'll leave it here, and you can run it off. They don't print this. I tried to get the little booklets for you, but they don't print it. It is How to Spend a Day in Prayer. That could maybe sound awesome to you, but it is a wonderful experience. And what this basically outlines is about 3.5 hours. Real practical. Just real practical. And part of what it talks about having with you, it says a Bible, a notebook or paper for taking notes, pen or pencils, a clock, and a watch. Optionals, prayer letters, a devotional book to read, list different kinds of books, a bag lunch and beverage, your current prayer list, memory cards for extra review. So prayer is not just sitting there with your eyes closed. It's taking in the Word of God. It's singing praises back to Him. It's getting up and walking around, just being aware of His presence. A calendar of the months ahead so you can plan. Notes from your last day in prayer, your list of objectives or goals, a worry list. It even tells you how to make a worry list. Facts about a decision you're making, a copy of your weekly schedule. I put down a tape recorder and a praise tape. I had some gals out from a course I was doing, and we had a day of prayer one Sunday at our house. And I just gave them each, put them in a room where they would have a cassette player, and gave them each just a tape and said, just, you know, whether you want to listen to the whole thing or half of it or 15 minutes of it or what. But it just set the mood. This, the first time that a group of people ever did this, their attitude was, huh, what are you going to do for 3.5 hours? And when it was over, they said, I can't believe the time passed so quickly. Because it was just an awareness of God, and you shut other things out, and you just spent the time with Him. And it's amazing some of the things that can be accomplished during that time that can affect the rest of your life. So if anybody is interested, you may take this, and if someone locally here from the church, and if other people want a copy and make a copy of it, that's fine. But these are just some things that I would encourage you to look at. In closing, I would just say real prayer is the life we live in the routine every day, being aware of the companionship of the one who loves us most of all and created us for fellowship with Him. And just the verse again, be still and know that I am God. We've been given a privilege, and it only cost us one thing, and that's really just time and maybe awareness, maybe turning my eyes from myself, which is probably the biggest call, and turning them to Him. Let's just close with prayer, okay? Lord, we do love You. You tell us in Your Word that we are precious and that You honor us. And Lord, that You deem us worthy. And we just want You to know that we're really beginning to understand and to grow in the knowledge that You are that to us, that You are worthy of being honored and praised and glorified. And Lord, we just want to know You better. Our heart's desire is that You teach us to pray. For it is in Your Son's name we do pray. Amen.